In his post-caucus speech last night, Bernie Sanders tore into Wall Street and the so-called wealthy class.
It is not fair when the top one-tenth of 1% today owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. It is not fair when the 20 wealthiest people in this country own more wealth than the bottom half of America.
Well, our next guest would agree. Despite being a member of that wealthy class, Nick Hanauer is one of the biggest backers of the fight for a $15 an hour minimum wage. He's also a well-known entrepreneur and venture capitalist, the owner of several yachts and a private jet. But last year, he helped fuel the campaign that led to a small handful of states and cities taking steps to phase in wage hikes. And this year, he may make even more progress. Nick Hanauer is in Seattle, Washington, where he lives. Nick, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you've had some successes, and so let's talk about them, but also, you know, your personal success. We understand it was a family bedding company called Pacific Coast Feather Company.
Yeah, I grew up in a family business, but started other companies when I was super young, maybe in my early 20s. And today, I think I've helped found or start or run or financed, I think, 35 companies across a really broad range of industries. Yeah. But, the really big money that I made came from technology and the internet in particular.
Well, and also, you know, seeing this thing called Amazon.
Right. I was the first non-family investor in Amazon.com, and I made obviously a lot of money on that. But I also founded another company called Aquantive, which turned into basically the biggest internet advertising company in the world. And we sold that to Microsoft for $6.5 billion in 2007. And gives you a perspective.
Okay, so now you're leading this fight and others, but we want to concentrate on this $15 fight today. And, you know, Molly Ball says in The Atlantic, you've been called America's premier self-loathing plutocrat because of this fight. Because, you know, there are a lot of people who think that this $15 wage is not the way to a better economy, that, in fact, people lose jobs when wages are raised and people can't afford to pay workers that amount. So make the case for $15 an hour.
You know, the fundamental law of capitalism is that when workers have more money, businesses have more customers and need more workers. And prosperity in a technological market economy like ours is a consequence of a feedback loop, essentially, between increasing amounts of demand and increasing amounts of innovation.
Because if workers have more money, they have more money to spend and they then become
and
consumers.
And the more money they have to spend, the more incentive there is for entrepreneurs and inventors to create new products and services that can increase our standards of living.
So this is middle out economics.
That's right.
Yeah, instead of trickle down, it's middle out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the truth is that, you know, for a long time, people in this country, neoclassical economists, had this idea that if you gave rich people like me tax cuts, somehow magically that would create growth and a thriving middle class. And that idea turns out to be both wrong and backwards. And there is literally no counterexample either in our country or on Earth to contravene that idea.
Well, okay, let's talk about one of the biggest criticisms, and it's laid out by Rehan Salam in an article in Slate. He asks, but why? How can you do this across the board, across the country? So, for instance, raising the minimum wage in Massachusetts, where we're based, really wouldn't be felt that much. It's already pretty high in this state, but it would just kill employers in Mississippi, for instance, if they had to go up to $15.
So that's a great point raised. My first answer to the question is that Mr. Salam massively overestimates how difficult it is for businesses to pay workers more. And in every corner of the country, in the face of increasing minimum wages, whether it's 50 cents or $5, businesses claim the same thing, that they'll go out of business, that they'll have to shed workers, and so on and so forth. It was no different here in Seattle. It just turns out that it's in actuality, not true. As workers' wages are raised across the board, that increases demand, which benefits businesses. And the folks in Mississippi need to allow for the possibility that the reason they're so poor is that their minimum wage is so low. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is to acknowledge that places are different. And it is ludicrous, and we have admitted this openly, to expect the minimum wage in a place like New York City to be the same as a small town in Mississippi. 15 has become a bit of a metaphor. Mm. And what it means is a floor, a wage, which pays people enough in their community for them not to need food stamps and Medicaid and rent assistance and public assistance if they work full time.
So would you be in favor of something that Rehan Salam quotes in his article, UMass Amherst economist Arindra Heat Dub, who's proposed setting a minimum wage at half the medium full-time wage in any given place? So, for instance, you might have to raise it to 15 in Massachusetts, but that would equal more like 8 in Mississippi if you go by, again, half the median full-time wage. Would that appeal to you?
You know, I just think that that's a cop-out. You know, one of the great challenges in our economy is that median wages are falling as the average rises. I earn $15,000 an hour. That's assuming, Robin, that I actually worked 40 hours a week, which I don't. That's what inequality is. And one of the few levers that we have to begin to remedy this is to push the minimum wage up. And so, you know, look, if there was a shred of truth to the idea that higher wages would kill jobs, Seattle, Washington could not be the fastest growing city in the country.
Well, but
right?
Seattle, Washington has something else going for it. It has, you know, tech industry. It has new industry, which Mississippi or pockets of the country don't have.
But you have to ask yourself whether that's cause and effect. Why do we have that? Washington State has the fastest rate of small business job creation in the country. Why? Because if you pay low-wage workers more than $7.25 or $2.13 plus tips, they actually have enough money to go out in their communities and buy stuff from the small businesses that drive job growth.
Yeah. What about other arguments that are made? And again, Rehan Salam of the National Review lays them all out. He says raising the minimum wage might also mean that you've got people coming in to take jobs that are usually held by lower skilled workers who wouldn't get a shot unless, you know, there was a lower wage and employers expected they could maybe train them. But when you have higher skilled workers coming in and taking that higher wage, you suddenly erase the jobs for the lower skilled, lower paid workers.
I mean, you know, it's this is just silly. You know, one of the things that's happening in Seattle is we are out-competing other states for the best and brightest people, which is very much a deliberate strategy here. But it is ludicrous to say that a reason for not raising the minimum wage across the board is that it will somehow crowd out the people at the bottom. The people at the bottom will still be the people at the bottom. The only difference is they will earn more money. Right?
Yeah, I want to go back to your $15,000 an hour income that you have.
Yeah.
Given that, why this? I mean, you have other causes. Some people say that you're the liberal version of the Koch brothers, spending your money on causes that are important to you. Why this one?
Well, because, you know, if you've run 35 different kinds of companies, I think you have a very unusual perspective on how capitalism and market economies work. And like, I'm a capitalist. I want the most robust economy that I can find because that's where the biggest opportunities for people like me lie.
You want your jets too.
Well, yeah, of course, but yeah, you can't have a jet unless you have a giant market to sell into. Hmm. Right? Hmm. I mean, the simple truth is that the better off the typical person is in our country, the better off I will be in the long term. In every single way. I mean, to say nothing of the moral issues, which are quite obvious. But, you know, Apple Computer is an American company because it is the best place on planet Earth to sell to.
Nick Hanauer, what do you say to people who say, for the same reason they don't like the Koch brothers who poured their money into changing policy, they're not comfortable with the idea of you, because you have a lot of money, pouring it into impacting policy? It's the same thing. What
yes.
would you say?
I would say I have no good answer to that question. It's a fair point. Nobody is a bigger advocate of getting money out of politics than me, and yet I spend giant, enormous amounts of money on politics. What does that make you? A hypocrite, I guess. I don't know what to say other than to say that I think a distinction can be drawn between people who pour energy and money into policies that benefit other people directly and not themselves, and people who pour energy and money into policies that only are focused on their narrow self, on their narrow near-term economic self-interest. I mean, the trickle-down economics, which is this idea that the richer the rich get, the better off everyone else will be, is really, it's a scam. It's a magic trick. It's an intimidation tactic masquerading as an economic theory. And the only thing that is true about the claim that if wages go up, jobs will go down, is that if people like me can get people like you to believe it's true, it's going to work out really well for people like me.
That's Nick Hanauer, entrepreneur and venture capitalist and one of the backers of the movement to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Nick, thank you.
Thank you.